All right, and all God's people said?
Amen.
Wake up.
God bless that folk.
You know, but God's got to bless. She's seven. You know how old that is? So 5 years old. Anyway, so we are one bread and one body. We all partake of that one bread. And so here's the thing. I think this is really powerful. The point that the Apostle Paul is making is that those who partake, or those who have communion with, or those who have fellowship with the bread, capital B, the bread, are made one bread. You ever think of yourself as a loaf of bread? Well, God, in other words, Paul's looking at the church and he's seeing you as a loaf of bread. Okay? Not the Wonder Bread, you know, not the pre-sliced, okay? But just your loaf of bread, all right? And that's what Paul is saying here. And he's saying, by eating the communion bread, which symbolizes the body of Christ, we are bearing witness that we are one bread. By eating the communion bread, which symbolizes the body of Christ, we are confessing that we are like him, all right? And that we are, again, one bread. I came across, I don't know, some of you maybe read Oswald Chambers, and I tend to, on a regular basis, been reading it most of my Christian life. Sometimes he's way over my head, and I don't even understand what he just said. But sometimes, many, many times, it just like, wow, hits me right where I need to be hit on that particular day. But he talks quite often about the broken bread and the poured out wine. But he does relate it to Christ as ultimately the broken bread for us and the poured out wine for us. But he also often relates it to us and what it means for us. Okay? And he says this, and he's talking about exhaustion, and that's the kind of the context here a little bit, or being spent. And he says this: exhaustion means that our vital energies are completely worn out and spent. Spiritual exhaustion is never the result of sin, but of service. Whether or not you experience exhaustion will depend on where you get your supplies. Jesus said to Peter, "Feed my sheep," but he gave them nothing with which to feed them. That's John 21, verse 17. The process of being made broken bread and poured out wine means that you have to be the nourishment for other people's souls until they learn to feed on God. They must drain you completely to the very last drop. But be careful to replenish your supply, or you will quickly be utterly exhausted. Until others learn to draw on the life of the Lord Jesus directly, they will have to draw on his life through you. You must literally be their source of supply until they learn to take their nourishment from God. We owe it to God to be our best for his lambs and sheep, as well as for him. That speaks to me. I hope it speaks to you, because it reminds us, because all of a sudden it adds something to this that we've just done today. As we've taken of the broken bread and poured out wine, it's added to this. What does it mean for me to be communion for someone else? Do you understand what he's saying here? That there are those that don't know how yet to relate directly with Jesus Christ. But you are Jesus' hands and feet to them. Right? And so you have to be on your best for the souls of others. Has anybody blessed your soul? Has your soul been blessed by somebody else? Say amen. That's right. There have been those that have been broken bread and poured out wine. They have been communion for you. You understand what I'm saying by that. Jesus is our communion. But God uses us to bring communion to others. That's why the Apostle John says, We invite you into this fellowship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're inviting you into this communion. And it's God, and through His Son, sending you and I to bring bread to others. There's a... This is Matthew chapter 14. One of the two times that Jesus multiplied bread and fish. But there's so much here. We're not going to touch on everything about this passage, but it says verse 15, when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, and so at this point, there's a big crowd of folks. It says 5,000 men, but there were also women and children, probably upwards of 10,000 roughly, you know, they kind of estimate. And so thousands of people are there. They've been following Jesus. They have been receiving his teaching, and now it's late, and the disciples are like, shouldn't we send them home? In fact, that's what they say here. This is a deserted place, the disciples say. And the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food. And then Jesus tells them to do something impossible. He says, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. Now, made me think about that for a moment. You know, no matter whether I'm hunting, fishing, in my office, on a hike, I always make sure I have food. I don't know about you. I always make sure that I have food. In fact, if I'm going fishing with a friend, I'm usually the one, they know that I'm going to make sure that we eat, because I don't like to be hungry, right? Maybe I'm the only one, but I don't want to make sure that I got something on hand. You know, we went hunting with Elijah, and I made sure. I had a backpack, food in the truck. I had food in the backpack. We didn't have time to eat anything. My coffee was still hot. I hunted it early, but I made sure. Man, if this I planned for, like, we were going to be out, rain or shine, winter, didn't matter. We were going to get a deer, and it could take forever, and we weren't going to starve out there. And so I make sure we can go down to my office. I've got, you know, some, got a jar of peanuts and pretzels. You know, I try to be careful because my wife may ask me what I'm eating in my office, and so I make sure it's not contraband, usually. Donuts or something. Probably could find something in my truck right now. So, in other words, most days I could actually give you something to eat. Not right now, so don't ask. But he tells the disciples, you give them something to eat. He asks them to do something that is absolutely beyond their ability. How in the world are we going to be able to do this? That's what they say. We have only 5 loaves and 2 fish here. And he says, bring them here. Give me the fish and the bread. And then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Jesus was saying to his disciples, I mean, here's the spiritual meaning behind it, at least one of the spiritual meanings behind it. He was saying, give me to them. Give me. I'm the bread. This is symbolic. Give me to them. But I love what he says. He says, you give them something to eat. And you know that's what God's asking for us to do? Because we live in a world and we live in a community where there are people that are starving. They are starving. Some of you know them where you work. Some of you are in education. You know you're dealing with children and parents, and they're starving spiritually. If you're working down at Manfisher, or you know folks downtown that live on the streets, but you know there is starving going on. You have family members, and you look at it, and you know you have people in your own family. You saw some of them for Thanksgiving, and they're starving. And Jesus is telling you and I, give them something to eat. Give them what I've given to you.